Yeah, this is the Valley Talks, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And we've got another charming guest.
And Cameron.
Mm. Yeah, with the old team's back together.
Yeah, we are.
Get the band back together.
And again, I have much pleasure in introducing a lovely lady in the studio. All ladies that come in here are lovely. But today we have Megan Higginson. Is that right? I've pronounced it Megan.
It is Megan.
Not like Megan in America, but it's Megan.
It is Megan.
And you are the person, the go-to person for street libraries.
Apparently around here.
Yeah, and so I know.
I got the first question of the day.
You'll go on.
I've already privyed you to the question. What is a street library?
A street library is a small library that holds about 20 to 40 books that sits on the fence line of your property.
We don't usually encourage sitting on the fence.
On the footpath or inside?
No, inside. So it's on the, otherwise you've got to go through council and all sorts of things. So if it sits like your letterbox on your fence in your property, then people just walk past and they can take a book, they can leave a book, or they can share a book from your library.
So there's no real requirement to fill in forms and all that sort of stuff?
Nothing. It's great.
So those books might never come back?
No, and we don't mind. We really don't.
Yeah, I mean, if you get lucky, as far as the consumers are concerned, you can take a $5 book and get back a $20 book.
Absolutely.
You never know which way it's going to go.
You never know.
Or conversely, the other way around.
Absolutely.
So where did the concept of street libraries come from?
It actually originated in America in 2009 as the Little Free Library.
Okay.
And it really took off there. And in 2015, a guy here in Australia saw what was happening and what the impact was having over in America and throughout the world, and decided he wanted to set up something similar here in Australia. So he set up Street Libraries Australia. So, which is wonderful. You can go straight to the Street Library Australia website and you can order a library already pre-built. You can register your library and you can have it on a map that anybody in Australia, if they're just driving through and they go, I actually would like a book, and they can...
There's one just down the road in Ball.
Yeah.
We better go and check it out and see if there's anything there we're interested
in.
Really? Yeah. So it's a permanent thing on you that you would have at your house?
Yes.
Okay. Now, where does the money for all this arrive from?
Okay. So I have already got a library which I just picked up a little shelf cupboard for $10 off Facebook Marketplace, and I did it up. I did pictures on it. As a children's author, I wanted to set up one specifically for kids. A lot of people have, you know, they have a theme, like a gardening one or a craft one, or they just have a whole bunch of different books, adults to children. It doesn't really matter. So I set that up for people, for their local kids just to come. It only cost me the price of the paint and that. And because I'm a children's author, I also know a lot of children's author, and I let them know what I was doing. And so a lot of people started just contacting me and wanting to donate books. And
really?
So they donated the books that they themselves had written, as well as some people just went into their shelves and grabbed a whole bunch of books off their shelves and sent them through to me. And even when once that first lot had sort of dwindled down over the months, I have regular contributors that just go to op shops, grab a whole heap of books and donate all the time. So I'm never short of books that are donated to the library, which is great because the kids come regularly and they're reading. Kids who don't normally read are reading, which is awesome.
That's a really great bonus, I think.
Yeah.
Not just are they borrowing a book to look at the pictures.
Yeah.
Because there in itself we have problems of kids trying to interpret the picture rather than reading the words. And then you get the other way, that they read the words and don't understand how it relates to the picture.
Yeah.
So if you've got kids reading from a library that's on somebody's front lawn or nature or or driveway or whatever it may be. I think that's just wonderful. So the question is, if the people who are out now in our listening area want to start a library at home, a street library, what's their first thing they should do?
Well, what they can do, it's super easy because Street Libraries Australia already have libraries built that are weatherproof, they're made out of marine ply and perspex, and they're ready to go. You can buy it off their website, already built, and you can just paint it up however you like, put it on a pole, and you're off and running, and just register it on their website, and it's as easy as that.
Yep.
Nice and easy.
And how about the books?
The books you can buy yourself. You can take it off your shelf. You can get donations. Like I regularly get donations. I'm hoping to set up a Facebook page with all the other street libraries in the valley, so we can share resources as
When you say with all the others, have you any idea how many there are?
I am aware of at least three or four others. Some are registered and some are not.
Yes.
But last year, after the success of my street library that I set up, I was talking to Dan at Local Learning one day, and I spoke about the street libraries and I spoke about how I really would like to get the council pack of 10 libraries through Street Libraries Australia. And she said, how about applying for a grant through La Trobe Health Assembly? I'm like, oh, I didn't even know that existed, but okay. So she helped me apply for a grant, which we got, and we got 10 street libraries, and the last few months have just been looking for hosts for that, which we pretty much have the 10 hosts, and we've been painting them recently, and we're going to have a launch party at my place at 15 Tobruk Street, Morwell, on the 24th of March at 11 o'clock, and we're going to launch all the libraries that are being set up.
That's fantastic.
Could I ask what might be a stupid question?
Go for it.
What about getting the men's shed to help you with making more?
Interesting enough, the new when I had set up my original one last year, and I don't know how it found out, but Wynn News found out, and I was interviewed on Wynn News about the street library, as well as some of the kids who use it and one of the mums whose children use it. Newbra Men's Shed contacted us and said, hey, we'd love to help any way that you want us to help, we'll help. And so they've been fantastic. We've been holding the paint parties over at there at the men's shed in Newbra, and so it's been really, really good.
They're good guys. We've had them on.
So it wasn't a stupid question after all.
Not a stupid question after all.
All right. I'll take a bow.
It's good.
What about the security of the books, Megan? What happens if someone borrows a book, doesn't return it, or you're...
They take them all down the op shop.
Yeah, or your box gets stolen or something like that. How does that
work?
Well,
interesting enough, so far most people, they get the idea that they can take the book, and I always tell the kids and when they come and I introduce them to the whole concept, that if they take the book and they absolutely love it, they can keep it. But if they have a book at home that they don't really like that much, they can donate it. And I talked to the parents about this too. And so that's what's happened.
It's like a swap system.
It's a swap system, really. And sometimes they've actually, because some of the books that are donated are brand new, they've actually come and go, oh, I can actually give that a gift to somebody because I know they'd really like that because they like that topic. So, so they take it and they give it as gifts to their friends, which is really fantastic.
All right, well, we might move off street libraries and go on to you as an author. Is that all right?
That's perfectly fine.
Okay. Now, you're an author of children's stories?
So far.
How many books have you done?
Okay. So I have one story in a story collection called Creative Kids Tales Story Collection, Volume 1. Volume 2 is coming out this year.
Yeah.
And that's the one that I've used mainly when I've done writing workshops in the primary schools. I entered also a story in, which is just a snippet of my life, in the Stories of Life competition, and it was shortlisted in my section late last year, and it has been published in Three Dummies in a Dinghy and Other Stories of Life anthology, which was fantastic. So I could have got that one as well. And I have a picture book called Raymond and the Fear Monster coming out this year, and my illustrator is working on the last illustrations and cover for that.
Wow, that's good. Exciting stuff. So when you write, I ask every author this question, do you plan whatever you're writing, do you plan it from A to Z and then fill in the blanks, or do you just let it all flow?
Ah, it depends, because I've written actually a lot of, like, I originally focused on picture books, and now I've gone into short stories, and I'm working on a sci-fi fantasy middle grade novel, and each of them is different. Sometimes I'll plan it, but most of the time it's just I'll start with a line or a character or a scene or whatever. I just start. I'll start somewhere. And my middle grade novel, I started in a couple of scenes that I had written, and it was in the middle of the novel. And then I sort of jumped to the end, and then I went back to the beginning and sort of jump all over the place. But then it's always the editing. It's the going back and the rewrite that everything sort of comes together.
I've got a neighbour who is writing a book, has been writing a book for about 2 years, and she's almost finished, and she's hit a brick wall just before the end. And she said to me, I can't get past this brick wall. My characters are all there, ready to go and continue, and I just can't get them over the wall. And I said, well, gee, I don't know how anybody would do that. And it's probably doing what you just said, close it down, go away, and then come back and then do fresh a rewrite.
And that's what I've done with all of mine. Once I've finished or I just get stuck on something, it's not that I get a writer's block. I just put it away for a while and I mull. And I think, and I just churn things over in my head and try different things out. And I have a great writers group. And Raymond and the Fear Monster, I had originally written for some kids in an orphanage in the Philippines that I had met while I was on a mission trip. And the second time I was going back, I wanted to write something special. So that's what I wrote. And I wrote and illustrated in 6 weeks as a photo book, a 24-page photo book through Officeworks, and I gave it to them. They loved it. Actually, somebody loved it so much, it's now missing. Because I've kept in contact with some of the orphan kids.
Obviously been placed in a street library and it's gone.
Yeah, it started there. And I just couldn't – I wanted to rewrite it. And it was about 4 years ago I started taking my writing seriously and starting to do courses and things. And I thought, I'll go back and rewrite it. Oh, my goodness, I got to a point I wanted to throw up on the thing or burn it and never see it again. But it was at my writer's group. We were doing dialogue one day and she said somebody else was running it and she said, just bring something that you're working on that has a lot of dialogue. So I'm like, oh, okay, well, Raymond and the Fear Monster are chatting for a bit there. I'll work on that. And all of a sudden I just start having heaps of fun with it again and just play with it. And that's what I've learnt, is to play, just to get your characters out and just put them in a different situation and do something fun with them and see what happens. And I started getting excited from there on. Yeah, so that's what I do now.
Well, I'm so glad.
It's very good. What about your other books that have released? You take them along to primary schools and that when you do your...
Well, I'm slowly getting a collection of them. Originally, it was just the one book, so I take them.
That's good. What's the reception been from the children reading them? They like them?
Love them. And interesting enough, the story collection that I wrote my first one for, it was called The Sock Thief. It's a bit of a mystery. And it's a short story, so less than 1,000 words. And I've had, and it was written for the ages of 5 to 12. And I've had responses from the teachers. They always read it before I go there on these writing workshops, that the kids have just sat there and you cannot hear a pin drop because they're listening so closely from prep right up to year six.
Can I ask you then the obvious question that flows from that? Have you found the answer to the riddle, where do single socks go to? Because when you put the washing basket out, there's always one, two, three missing.
Well, it depends.
Have you solved it?
It depends on which story you read. Depends on where they actually go.
Oh, well, I know where. You know, we had Sylvester the Talking Sock used to be a ventriloquist aid. Take two buttons. I remember the song. Sew 'em on a sock. And what have you got? Sylvester. Sylvester the Talking Sock.
My goodness, there's another topic and another heading for you.
He was Ron Blaskett and Jerry G. Ron Blaskett had the sock.
Oh, my goodness.
As well as Jerry G.
Well,
long before your time, Cameron.
Yes.
I've been re-educated an amazing amount today. Megan, I'd like to thank you for coming in, and we've covered a broad range of topics. I'm particularly interested in your book writing, and maybe in the future when you perhaps release another one, you could come in and tell us about it, and also give us an update on the street libraries, because the whole thing sounds like a great concept. I missed the bit about how you get it notified on the web as to where to go and find one. Where do you look for that?
Okay, it's at streetlibrariesaustralia.org.
Right. Okay. Yeah,
it's on their website.
So we just look that up and guide our GPS to the place.
Yep.
I like the sound of that. Have you got one at your place yet, Kurt?
No, but I'm thinking of it, actually.
Okay, you've got plenty of books.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. You need actually to share them with the world.
Did really well. My wife volunteers at the Salvo store in Morwell.
There's a resource.
And I went down to pick her up one day and she said, there are all these books here that you might be interested in, and they're all books on music, big picture books and history books, Billy Thorpe's books, $2 each. And oh, wow.
Wow.
I ended up bringing one into the country crew for Harriet because one was full of country music. So there's a wealth of books you can get at op shops, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And we promote Lifeline with their book fair here. We're very keen on that. Go to Lifeline. They've always got books too.
They do. That's where I get some of my books.
Yeah.
I always leave a notebook in my street library. So if one of the kids or one of the parents would like a book on a particular topic, they'll leave me a note, and I will go through my collection and see what I've got and leave it out. And I'll leave it on right there for them, or I'll tell them where to find it. If I've found a few things in there, and they'll go, yep, okay, we'll do that.
So, Megan, when you get your 10 street libraries together and get the locations, can you get in touch with us and give it to them? We will do something about letting people in that area
know.
And for everybody else, if you're going to go and buy a book at an op shop, take a book down to give them to replace it.
Mm. Sounds like a great idea. Megan, thanks for telling us about all of that today, and
continue
success with your writing.